IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
First up, though, two agencies may have found a way to solve one of the most time-consuming and costly requirements for federal cybersecurity, the authority to operate. The General Services Administration and the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency have reduced the time it takes for a system to obtain an ATO from months to, in some cases, just days. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about how GSA and NGA did that, and he joins me now to discuss. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Jared.
So remind us what an ATO is in the first place.
The dreaded authority to operate. Now, this is the thing that basically every agency needs, every system needs, before it can move from really test and development and into full production. So basically, if you're going to take a system and put it online, it has to have a mission owner sign off, or the mission or the system owner sign off on the system saying, I accept the risks, I accept the security controls that are running on top of it, and I accept and I'm ready for it to go live onto the internet, onto the network, so people can use it or somebody can use it either internally or externally. And Jared, the thing about ATOs is it's not new. Agencies have been dealing with them for years, you know, for the better part of 15, 20 years. But it's gotten harder. It's gotten more difficult. And as Nick Sinai, the former federal deputy chief technology officer, wrote back in just July 2017, he goes, it's quite common for specific steps to obtain an ATO different from person to person, which ultimately encourages everyone to take many unnecessary steps, as in the just in case, which further prolongs the process without adding any benefit. And I think that's really been the key here, the cost and the time. How do you lower that? And OMB and others have been trying to do this for the better part of the last 15 years.
Yeah, and I think sometimes over the years, the process itself has been criticized as somehow inherently broken. But as you write, these two agencies at least have figured out how to do it quickly and work within the existing ATO process. So what have they been doing?
So two things came up. So first of all, let me back up a little bit. About a year ago, when actually Nick Stein and I wrote that blog post, Jason Hess, who was part of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency at the time, was a cloud security architect, and he made the comment, I'd love to be able to get to an ATO in one day. So fast forward here a year later, and what the NGA has done is gotten ATO to about 3 to 5 to 7 days. Now, there are a lot of guardrails that they have to stay in between, but they were able to take that small time frame, the long time frame, and turn it really into a smaller one. Now, over at GSA, the 18F organization, they're known for using agile iterative development. They're known for just, you know, taking a big hairy problem and breaking it down into pieces. And that's exactly what they did with the ATO. And in fact, it was kind of one of those areas when a need hits a desire. Hey, there's a need to get through a backlog of about 30 systems that fell under the technology transformation service that 18F lives under. And how could they do it? It would take 6 to 18 months to get them all done. There would be no way to clear that backlog. So Aidan Feldman, an innovation specialist at 18F, he said, we developed basically a streamlined process, created an ATO sprint team. And again, they went from about 6 to 18 months down to 30 days. Now, again, same thing as NGA. They put a set of guardrails up, stayed in between the guardrails, but that was able to really quicken the pace, really get it going faster.
Is there anything in, you know, special in particular about GSA and NGA that gave them the ability to do this? How much of this is portable to other agencies?
I think a lot of it is very portable to other agencies. One thing about it, Jared, is that it's not necessarily because 18F is 18F or NGA is NGA. In fact, I'll tell you, it's probably the exact opposite. What both organizations did, and this is very similar, and they are in contact with each other, but I think they're both kind of going down very similar paths. They said, we're going to set up a series of rules that if you want to get your ATO done, you need to follow these rules. Now, again, the rules are more like guard paths, guard rails on a road, not necessarily a limiter. And let me give you an example. Matt Connor, who's the Chief Information Security Officer at NGA, talked about what they did. I got a chance to catch up with him last week. One of the things he talked about was getting a set of design patterns, a set of orchestration services, a set of compute environments. So he really, the big standardization across these areas. And then once you enter within those series of again, compute environments, design standards, then you can go very fast. Now, if you want to go outside the guardrails, that's fine too. It could take longer, and it's not going to work for every single project. In fact, Matt Connor from NGA talked about SpeedPass. We all use it. You can go through all the process, and then you can go through the tolls very quickly. If you don't want to go through the process, it may take a little longer to go through those tolls. So I thought it was a very great analogy when we talk about something as you know, like cybersecurity and ATOs. You know, either you want to do speed pass or you don't, but one's going to get you there faster than the other.
Is it too much of a stretch to say that as the government more and more builds on common cloud-based infrastructure, kind of eliminating some of the technical disparities that we've seen in older stovepipe systems, the more they move to that common infrastructure, the easier and quicker it's going to be to get to an ATO?
That's a great point, because one of the things that 18F did was a lot of the systems lived on their what they call their cloud.gov platform. Now, this is a platform as a service offering, and then the software sat on top of it. So all of the controls, the security controls that they got already approved for cloud.gov, they can just kind of check off. They don't have to relook at those security controls for the system. So that lowered and reduced the number of security controls they had to reevaluate or evaluate for the first time when they were renewing the ATOs. And I think that's a great example. Your point, Jared, is a great example of why things can get faster for a lot of other agencies too, as they build on whether it's Microsoft Azure or Salesforce or Google or Amazon, whoever they want to use, that has a series of basic controls in place already through the FedRAMP cloud security program, and that's going to make this ATO process potentially faster and less expensive, which really that is the end result.
All right, Jason, and one other item in the notebook before we let you go. You also write this week about help coming to small businesses in the Small Business Innovation Research or SBIR program. What's going on there?
So the SBIR program is one of those programs that gets a lot of kudos, but then when vendors who participate in it get to what they call phase three, where they have to commercialize that development. So in phase one and phase two, the government chooses, gives them some initial seed money, gives them some more seed money to advance it. And then for phase three, the vendor is supposed to commercialize it. And what I've been told is commercializing is very difficult. A lot of times agencies don't have the money to spend on commercialization. A lot of times the need that initially came out is now 2, 3, 4 years old, because by the time you go through this entire process, so the person who identified the need at the agency is no longer there, or the money has dried up or has gone somewhere else. So what the General Services Administration is doing is saying, hey, we could maybe connect small businesses in the SBIR program and agency buyers. If there's a innovation or a technology that an agency buyer needs, well, the assisted acquisition service through GSA would say, hey, we know of somebody in the SBIR program that can connect to that. And I think that's the really good idea that came from GSA and the Small Business Administration. They saw this need and they're trying to put them together. Now, I did talk to one SBIR participant. This is a woman, the CEO of Hermione Holdings Group by the name of Palibi Sabu. Now, she says they have they have revenues about approaching $20 million. They've won about 89 SBIR grants over the last 15 or so years. And she says the biggest frustration is contracting officers don't understand how SBIR works. They don't understand that you can give almost a sole source contract to companies in phase three to get to use their innovations. And I think that's why the GSA helping out with assisted acquisition services is a really good deal for both the companies, but also for the customer agencies.
All right, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joining us to talk about just a couple of the items in this week's edition of the Reporter's Notebook. Thanks a lot, Jason.
My pleasure, Jared.
And you can read Jason's notebook at federalnewsradio.com.